We are Brightside, home of the
Home Theater Nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
scenes.
Steve's too busy pointing to my line, please.
I would like that. Yeah.
Which way to Albuquerque?
Left. Oh. How are you doing this week?
How are you?
I'm great. Great to be sitting down, chatting. I almost said comics. That's how my day's gone.
Now we can do that too, but.
I know. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, I know. Really excited to get to this. I'm coming in hot, really hot with that. I think possibly the movie of the year. It is for me so far. I'm not kidding you.
Mario?
No.
I did wonder for a minute.
Yeah, no, God, no. Unless you saw a different film. No, but it's not movie of the year.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you want.
By any stretch. No.
Let me look now. I need to look. Not the one for next week.
Nope. I haven't seen that one yet. I just got it today.
Yeah,
Mario, I was able to do today because it's short. You ready to get into it? Let's get right to it.
Get to it. You're already hot.
Let's do it.
I'm hot. Where is? Oh, there it is. Yeah, I gotta open up with this. How do we not? I'm like, after I saw this, Guy Ritchie's The Covenant.
Oh, okay.
Oh, have you seen it, Steve? Has any?
No, because it's not on any of the streaming services here. So I don't quite know what's happening. I've looked for it.
Yeah. It's actually here only is premium rental, correct?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
$20. Yeah.
And it's, I grabbed it, and it's the same thing on Kaleidoscape. So I can't even buy it yet. But oh. I rented it because I'd heard good things. I like Guy Ritchie's stuff. Jake Gyllenhaal, I like. I also knew Anthony Starr was in it. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I don't know anything about the co-star to Jake Gyllenhaal, Dar Salim, I believe. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about him, previous to this, but I'm telling you, when this comes available, see it in your theater. This movie it's a great movie, in my opinion, that is greatly enhanced by your home theater experience in a way that we're not used to, especially for a, you know, could potentially be a war movie, could an action war movie type thing, but it's not. This is a drama, with action in it. But so, like, when we watch our typical war movies, don't you want guns, explosions, and you've got all of that, and this has that. But the way that Guy Ritchie used music in this, it's amazing, absolutely amazing. The way it's like, it's wide, it's enveloping, it goes behind you, it goes over you, it moves around the room, it sets the tone for the scenes, it sets the tone for the different parts of the movie. It's just there's like the ambient sounds too. Okay, so the score, I thought, there was one, I don't want to give anything away, but there's an example at 43 minutes and 30 seconds where they're using almost like, you know, like the, what do you call them, like tin drums or tin can. It sounds like a tin can, but it's probably played on like a drum or something. But it starts overhead on your right and then moves, but it goes back and forth and you get the tick, 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 tick. But it's setting some tension, and it really does, because you're like, holy crap, because it's a tense part of the movie, right? It's like, you know, you're getting anxious. You know, it's building the anxiety, but then this is going on. That was just one example that I was like, all right, I got to write this down because I don't want to give spoilers or anything. So I'm like, all right, let me write that down. But there's tons of ambient sounds in this that, you know, in your normal Dolby Atmos affair where you get, you know, military stuff going on in the background. There's one scene early on in the movie where they're on a base and the lights are blinking and you're like, in your room and you hear that and you hear the electricity blinking or whatever. Later on, wind blowing all around, you know, nice stuff like that. The gunshots are really nice. That's, you know, accurate, deep. It's not Lucy. It's not meant to be, but I'm telling you, it's the score in this that I was blown away. I was like, at the end of the movie, I'm like, you've got to see this. I was saying to my son, at the end of the movie, there is a scene that once you guys have seen it and we can talk about it, maybe with some spoilers, there's a scene where the absence of sound is put to such great use. And then it really makes that scene. And, it'll probably be on my list for a long time because up until now, my favorite absence of sound scene was in, I think it was Kill Bill when she was buried. And then it like all the sound goes out of the room and you're like, I'm in there with her.
Hear her breathing.
Yeah. And it's brutal. This one won't replace that, but it will get added to. And it's not as long, but the sound goes away and you're just like, and then what happens next is awesome. And you see it coming, but it's like, you're like, whoa, it's great. Great.
Other example of a film where it goes silent when you don't expect it is in Attack of the Clones, the concussion grenade from Slave One. The fire spray gunship. I'm not getting into trouble. Yeah, because that's the other thing. When you expect it to just go bang and you get the silence,
yes,
and then you get it.
Yeah. So we had some of that. They redid some of that in Mandalorian too.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
exactly. I think season one.
When they encountered on the planet.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
As it came up and it was being pursued by the TIE fighters, I said to my little viewing buddy, "They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it." And when they drop it, I was like,
"Yeah,"
just getting really excited.
Yeah, people were tweeting it like the scene that. Because it was actually in atmosphere too, right? That wasn't in space, if I remember right. It was in atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Great.
Yeah. I happen to look at, at 151 of the movie is that greatest use, one of the greatest uses of absence of sound. So,
Do you happen to know, John, or do either of you know what streaming services it's rented on? Because it's not on Amazon. I was just looking.
iTunes had it.
I thought it was on Amazon. No.
Yeah, I did
over
too.
Here.
I know here. I thought it was iTunes because I saw it pop up, and I saw it was a $20 rental, and I.
So, let me and let me also talk about this. I'm putting my hand in front of the camera like a donkey. I'm like, let me do this. it's coming next month to Blu-ray with the Atmos track.
Okay.
If it doesn't come with a 4K, I wouldn't let that dissuade you. I really enjoyed the picture. I thought it had a great picture. I thought it was very crisp, detailed. A few night scenes were really, really nice. There's not a lot of dark scenes. But this, honestly, this movie it's not about the quality of the HDR, right? As long as it's a good Blu-ray copy, it's that Atmos with that, you know, score it's worth it. And I mean, if it's going to come in 4K and you want to wait, you know, don't take my word for it that I think it's the greatest movie of the year so far. I really, really enjoyed this movie.
Have you forgotten about Cocaine Bear, though, Deej? I mean, come on, that's John and I's movie so far.
Do you know how I didn't even sleep after that? I was trying to make that decision.
It'll be the cocaine.
Yeah. I didn't even realize I said that. But yeah, I mean, it's not easy to knock Cocaine Bear off the pedestal, but
yeah, because they're big. They're hard to
move. Yeah, I know. I honestly, I'm trying to think of another movie of this caliber this year. And I can't, and it might be recency bias. What other great movie in 2023 would you say that maybe I'm missing, I'm forgetting right now?
Cocaine Bear. I'm just trying to think in terms of worthy movies. Was All Quiet on the Western Front? That was last year, wasn't it?
That was last year.
Yep. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I haven't seen Air yet, so I don't know how good that is.
No, I mean, well, you've got the Marvel movies, but I haven't seen either.
Yeah,
but this is
a film. this isn't. Right. I mean, like, I know Guy Ritchie did Sherlock Holmes. This isn't Sherlock Holmes.
Right, but again, what are your qualifications for a movie of the year? Is it the home theater experience? Because
I think this has
Ant-Man it. Man, right, it's probably great. You know, even though it's a movie, not a film. Like, right. what is your criteria?
Oh, my criteria is that, like, if somebody asks me what's my favorite movie so far, this is jumping to the front of the line. And before now, I don't know what it would be. It would probably have been like, oh, I'm not really sure. That's a good question. A lot of good movies. And this one just goes right ahead. Like, and again, I admit recency bias, but I very rarely do I put movie of the year like a Marvel movie or something like Endgame was, right. But anything, they're comic book movies, but like, I even like the Batman last year was up there. That's a great cinematic movie. Top Gun, Maverick. I don't even know if I would have said that was the movie of the year. I would have been closer to Northman for movie of the year, but a home theater experience, obviously that's what we're here for here.
Right.
But I'm feeling like the Atmos on this gives you that. I can't think of another because it's so artistically done and it's such a great use of the room and the score and all the sounds in the movie that I really enjoyed that. And then the movie itself, the story, I think critics are going to like, or I do. I mean, I just really liked the story. It's a very good film. Good story. I just
the trailers didn't make it look all that interesting. It looked a bit cliche from the trailers. I was a little bit kind of put off it a bit by that.
What is your interpretation from the trailer? And I could tell you if that's accurate, because even though it might be cliche, because it's not a true story, it's based on events, but it's not. It didn't happen to any one particular person. This story, but what was your interpretation of the trailer?
You know, it just looked a bit seen it. You know, it's the Iraq War. We've got, you know, a soldier gets injured or interpreter gets injured. The two bond, and then see you through the water. And it just looked. It immediately looked like cinematography. Seen it before. You know, it's drab. It's the usual sort of stuff. And the story just. And again, bear in mind, I didn't really pay a lot of attention to it because immediately thought, seen this. But Guy Ritchie can create something from quite a rote story sometimes because of the way he does it. Does it have any of his camera tricks and ticks in terms of the movement in time and changing kind of,
maybe I'm not really story. Like 100% familiar with his, like, I wouldn't be able to, I don't typically get into that stuff. If you had told me like, oh, okay, this is, oh yeah, that's Guy. I'd be like, oh yeah, you're right. But I typically don't get into that stuff. I just I'm just watching it. And
he did Wrath of Man. He did Wrath of Man.
I know.
And did, obviously The Gentleman, which I'm not sure. I don't remember if you saw that, but yeah.
Well, so I saw that I know that he did Wrath of Man, but so think back to Wrath of Man and think of some of those scenes with the music and things that they did with that, right? This is like that only to another level. Think of the story of the Wrath of Man. That was one where you went, okay. Or the acting at the beginning where we were like, okay. But we really enjoyed what he gave you sonically and visually, right? This has the acting. Jake Gyllenhaal is amazing. Anthony Starr in his brief role is like, oh, It's it's awesome. It's such a 180 from Homelander. But it, I mean, he's, the acting in this is great. Like I said, Dar Salim is great. And it's just well, very, very well done. And not like, I mean, you know, there, in my opinion, there's no, well, if you could just forgive this, you know, it's like, no, I can, I like it. So,
oh, okay. Well, I will do that. Brock Stars just said in the chat, just 2 seconds each. Yeah, Brock Star, tune in next week for that. And you're up. The answer to the question is yes, I have, and can't wait to talk about it. But we'll do that next week.
What's this? What did he say?
Brock Stars, anyone seen Sisu?
Oh. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And we will be
talking about half an hour ago.
Yeah. And we will be talking about it next week because I have it as well. I bought it this morning.
Yeah.
So I just haven't had a chance to watch that one. What's the duration on that? It's like 2 hours, right?
No. Hour and a half. It's lean and mean. And I'd say, John, probably the most fun I've had in the theater since Cocaine Bear.
Oh, yeah. I won't be talking about it next week because I won't have it. But
yeah, I think I went Super Mario this morning instead of that just because I had done, you know, the Covenant and I wanted a lighter, airier
type of event. Sisu is not serious in any way.
No. I know, but it's not Mario.
That is true. It is, you know, it is just, yeah, well, we'll talk about it next week, but it's serious. It is all kinds of fun.
Which one do you guys want? Who wants to go next? Dealer's what do you choice. Got?
Dealer's Again, just go. Just roll one up and we'll talk about it.
All right. Let's see.
Keep us on our toes, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do this.
John's got some great ones.
All right.
Straight in. Yeah. Right. Go, John, go.
All right. IP Man 4. Ip Man. I don't know why I wanted to say IP Man because I know better. Ip Man 4.
Because you're my buddy.
Yeah. 4K disc, HDR, Dolby Atmos. Finally got a chance to watch this Sunday. I've had it for about 2 weeks and it's been killing me that I hadn't had a chance to watch it. I mean, it was fantastic. Like the other three movies, the sound, the score is great. You've got that drum beat that all the movies seem to begin with, and it just sets the tone right from the start. There's always that montage where he's hitting the wooden, you know, sparring with the wooden man, and you know, you've got the Atmos and all that stuff going with that. I thought it was a great finale to this series. Again, a little bittersweet, just like the last one. Little bittersweet. And, you know, I couldn't help but feel after watching this movie that, like, the seriousness that they attribute to some of these beefs that get built up, you know, is a little dramatic at times in these films. But, you know, again, you have your requisite bad guy who isn't actually the one you thought was the bad guy initially. You know, Ip Man's got to come in and save the day. Lots of Bruce Lee action, which was fantastic. I thought the guy that played Bruce did a really good job, actually.
Yes.
It was super fun. Like I said, a little bittersweet, really good. I did want to ask, though, Steve, have you watched any of the young Ip Man movies?
No, I haven't. Because I'm imagining
they've set that up to be his son. Right.
Yeah. I love this so much. These ones so much. I just can't quite bring myself because there's another Ip Man film coming out as well.
Right.
And I can't. It's like having a favorite James Bond and then not being able to kind of move on with the next one.
Well, because I feel like these were, you know, obviously based in fact, I'm sure dramatized to the nth degree film, but I don't know that the young Ip Man movies follow that same. Like, I imagine they're just pure fiction, right? And
I think so. I mean, it is like a superhero now. I think so. But I'm not an expert on it. These are very, very loosely based on his life.
Right.
These ones, very loosely.
Right.
Mike Tyson was not there originally.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, sorry, I've burst the bubble now.
You burst my bubble.
So yeah. So I mean, in terms of the movie, just because I can't help myself, because this one I think is my favorite of the four.
Is it?
Although I like them all, but this one just seems to have hit a stride that is hard to top. And we should, I'll be careful how I say that. We should pour one out, not anything else, for that animated menu, by the way. I love the and that animated menu is fantastic.
It is.
And with
great.
The score as well. So much so I had to put it up on Twitter earlier. Because it's so good. But yeah, this is my favorite one, I think, of the four. I think you're right. There is tragedy in this. I love the Bruce Lee extended cameo, which is a nod to Way of the Dragon. The fight in the alleyway is clearly Way of the Dragon.
Right.
And, you know, what I did think was funny is the minute you see the karate guy's got nunchucks, you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
And you see them in his belt, and as soon as you see them, you're like, okay, I know exactly how this fight's going to go. And there's no logical reason why a karate black belt would have nunchucks. They're rice fails. That's Chinese kung fu. Right. There is no way that a karate expert's got that other than because we want to see Bruce Lee use the nunchucks.
Right.
And that's the only reason he's got them. So that's very cool. And then obviously the extended fight sequence at the end is fantastic with Scott Atkins. You know, I'm sure it's really, really good.
And I loved how everybody seemed to be under the impression that karate was an American sport. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Quite.
It's like,
yes,
this is the American sport. And, you know, you're not going to bring your foreign stuff here. And I kept shaking my head thinking karate didn't originate in the U.S. Quite. But
there are some weird things about it, because the whole thing's about xenophobia generally.
Right.
And yet the American guy is Scott Adkins, who's English. You know, and so it's all a bit strange. But yeah, but the fight sequences are so well staged. They've got it down to a fine art, like martial art, as it were, by the time they get to number four. And so what did you think of the home theater experience?
No, I thought it was great. I go back to when I watched the first one, and I don't know where my head was at, but I remember commenting that I didn't think the score and the sound of it was that great. But, you know, either I was... out of my head, or I just completely missed it because
that'll be the cocaine.
Yeah, right.
That's the only one I've seen, and I did
because the score is great in all of them. It's great here too. You know, I just feel like the punches have weight. Like everything has weight. All the fights have weight. You know, it feels like because in reality, a punch doesn't sound like that. But when you're watching this, you feel like somebody's getting hit, you know.
Unless you're the one being hit.
Right. But even still, it doesn't sound like that.
Right.
It might feel like that, but
it actually sounds
like
silent because you're like.
It's just a thud, a little thud.
The sound is the ow.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought great. Again, I thought the visual, you know, each one of these seems to have probably had a little bit higher budget. The production quality seems a little bit better as we go along. I remember, again, thinking back to the first one where it was a bit grainy, looked like an older movie, even though we said probably intentionally. But all of that kind of smooths away as you go along, because this one felt very polished. You know, it had great visuals. I thought the sound and the score was fantastic. I don't really take notes as I'm watching things, so I don't have scenes and things like that to bring up. But I was thoroughly engrossed through the whole thing. So
nice.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think that it looks incredible. I mean, it's beautiful to look at. Because I knew the nunchucks bit was coming up this time, I watched a couple of scenes. I didn't watch the whole thing again. I've seen it four times, maybe five times. So I just wanted to watch a couple of scenes today at lunchtime. I was at home and I thought I would, cause I knew you were going to talk about it.
Right.
And the karate guy, cause I knew I was going to say about the nunchucks. I thought, well, maybe it's not karate. Maybe it's something else. Right. But actually, it's so crisp, the 4K, that you can actually read the Shotokan karate badge that he's got on, and you can read it. So it is karate. There's no getting away from it. But it just looks incredible. And the whites of the tunics that Ip Man uses at the end, you know, it's just so crisp. It looks incredible. And again, the sound is fantastic. That score is just haunting and beautiful and powerful all at the same time. The fights in this are particularly, say, I think beefy. You feel it, don't you?
Yeah. Especially the finale, the finale.
Yes. Yeah. When he does his sort of signature kind of repeated punch kind of thing as well, you just kind of feel that. You're thinking, oh, ow.
Right. Yeah.
That does not look fun at all. yeah, I mean, these films are great. And everybody, I'm so glad we've had a chance to talk about them, because no one that I know, as in real life, has...
We're fake, John.
Well, I might say. You know, AI is very clever these days.
It is.
No one that I know
I'm
locally...
I'm ChatGPT.
Shall we say? Yeah, yeah.
None I'm of them locally. DJ.
yeah, so nobody locally that I know has seen them or gives a rat's bottom about it, because they just don't care. They, you know, this means nothing. So it's so cool that you guys have discovered them and gives me a chance to talk about them as well, which is absolutely brilliant.
Right. Well, and I'm really down the rabbit hole, as you can. There is a definite theme for me this week. And
I think we all are. No,
kind of carrying on into next week. Some of these I have seen already. Some of them I hadn't. Like, I hadn't seen these Ip Man movies.
John, try if you can to get hold of Raging Fire, even if it's just the Blu-ray.
I keep saving it.
It's saved in my card at Amazon. I keep kind of going back and forth over it because it's Blu-ray, and it's like one day maybe they'll do the 4K. But I'll probably just gonna pick it up, because again, I've got a couple more. You know, I've got a couple more Jet Li movies to watch that I've just picked up, and I've been kind
the
of
the Blu-ray is in Atmos, so. It's still
is it?
Yeah, and the Atmos track is very good.
Yeah.
I'll pick it up and carries on. I think you'll love it, and it'll be fun for you to see Donnie Yen in a modern kind of retelling of Heat. Right. But he's also fighting another guy who's a similar, very well-known martial artist, and the two go at it. You know, there's no kind of particular styles. They just go at it. There's a massive fight in a church at the end. Right. It's really, really good. Okay. So, I mean, both of you guys, I mean, I know I've been saying it forever, but, you know, it's well worth giving it a watch. I've yet to hear anyone say anything other than, wow. Yeah. So, again, if you're down that rabbit hole, let's just dig that little bit deeper.
Right, let's just keep going.
You know what will happen? Keep going, you'll hit China.
Right.
Oh.
All works.
Yeah. Look at you.
Yeah, because I've been going, I've got some pretty obscure titles saved in my Amazon wish list right now that I've just been like searching up these movies. So,
okay. Well, nice. We've got a Jet Li one coming later that you probably don't want to get.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of blew up on Twitter a little bit this week, and I'm racking my brains to think if I've even ever seen that. And I'm not even sure if I have. But,
okay. Well,
I definitely don't remember it if I have. So
I told you guys about it a few weeks ago. That's how we got on this. Because what movie were we doing then? And I was like,
Fearless.
Fearless. And I was like, I remembered it. So I grabbed it on Kaleidoscape, and I'm like, so I watched it. Remember, and I told you guys, I'm like, oh boy. I'm like, but it, yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah. But this is great. I mean, everyone should pick these up. And
two movies in a row today. We're talking Score is awesome.
Yeah. Well, and I bet all three of my movies have awesome scores.
Paul is saying in the chat, he's just saying that he saw Ip Man 3 last night and it looked beautiful, even if the plot was a bit hackneyed. That's kind of the point for these movies.
It was. I mean, the whole Mike Tyson of it all was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure they were ever holding themselves up to be anything more than really good looking genre films.
Right.
So, you know, it's got to be the way it is. But all right, cool. Yeah, very cool. Great film.
Cool. All right. Let's go with one that you're not sharing with anybody. Okay. There we go, Steve.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, for those listening and not watching, this is the remake of The Last House on the Left. And there is a reason that I picked that this particular week. Because something exciting is coming up in the not too distant future, Deej, hopefully. This was written by the person that hopefully at some point in the not too distant future. So I've chosen this because I am now rewatching all of the films. Sorry, guys, we're talking very critically here. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to announce it, but we are hoping.
I haven't had a chance to reach out. But as you know, literally was in the middle of doing that yesterday and everything hit the fan.
Are we going to announce it or just keep it as a tease for something down the line, or do you want me to just say
I mean, do you think there's any chance he doesn't show up?
Yeah, maybe we should tease it.
No, I mean, he's very, very excited by it. And I mean, I'll tell you something about this film from him. Okay, so in the near future, we are hoping to have and expecting to have a very special guest on the podcast who is someone who I've connected with via Twitter. He's a really nice guy. And he is, I don't know, should we name him? Might as well.
Go ahead.
It's a guy called Carl Ellsworth, who is the writer of a number of very high-profile movies. This is one of them. He wrote Red Eye. He wrote Disturbia. Mm-hmm. He wrote Unhinged, which is a Russell Crowe movie from last year. And he's a very nice guy. So I have taken it upon myself to rewatch all of his films. One, I already own them anyway. And two, I've seen them lots of times and they're all good and it's fun to go back and watch them. And this is one of them. So this is, as I say, the remake of Last House on the Left. The original being another video nasty, albeit one I've never seen. So this is the only version that I've seen, which is a movie about a couple and their daughter go to the woods. They've got a cabin in the woods. Funny how often that happens.
Can you believe that?
Cabin in the woods. Bad things happen to them. Family get revenge on the baddies. And the revenge they get is fairly significant, shall we say. So I rewatched this, having seen it a number of times, and really enjoyed it. Now, interestingly, I watched the unrated version. There is the rated and unrated on both. Both are on the same Blu-ray. And I had a DM from Carl yesterday to say, oh, I wish I'd seen this tweet. He said, I've just seen the tweet. Wish I'd seen it before you watched it because I prefer the theatrical one. And this is the guy that wrote it. So I should have listened to it. So I'm like, right, okay, I'll watch it again. So yeah, it's a horror film. It's a revenge film. You know what you're going to get these days. And it's graphic. It's gory. It's violent. There's no question about it. You'll never look at a microwave the same way again. After you've seen this, have either of you seen it, by the way, as me talking?
No. I don't believe so.
No. Okay. Well, you'd remember, I think, if you had, as I said, you'll never put anything in the microwave.
I still use my microwave, so I guess I haven't.
Well, quite. Yeah. You'll look at it with a slightly sideways glance from now on if you see this film. But it is really good and it holds up well. Now, it was a home theater experience, and this is the other reason I wanted to see it. It's in 185. So it fills the screen pretty much.
Nice.
And video wise, it's decent. It's an older film now, 2009, I think it was. So it's a little soft and it's showing its age a little bit in terms of that. And the palette is quite washed out deliberately as well. But what is decent in particular is the audio. I upmixed it. It's only 5.1 DTS HD, but I upmixed it to Neuralex as we always do. And it's decent. There's a car crash sort of not long into it where a car is going down a wooded kind of slope, but it's hitting trees as it goes. And you get decent thumps in the subs as it hits the trees. And then the whole kind of ending takes place, as all these horror movies do, in a storm. So, of course, you've got lightning and you've got thunder and you've got the rain all around. And that always upmixes well into Neuralex, because clearly the Neuralex codec knows, doesn't it? If it's rain and if it's thunder, it must be above you. Yeah. So it clearly knows that. However, they tell them that, it clearly does. And so it's that sounds really good, and all that's going on for an extended period of time at the end. So yeah, it's a solid home theater experience. You're not going to demo it to anybody. You're not going to pull it out and go, "Oh, this is the one to watch." But as a movie, it's solid. It's really good. And added excitement for us because I've got loads of questions for Carl when he comes on the podcast about this one, plus all the others as well, which I've already pre-warned him about. So very cool, well worth seeing, guys. If you've got it, if it's on streaming and you've got nothing else to watch and you're in the mood, then definitely give it a go.
Cool. All right, let's see, what do I want? Oh, you know what, I should do this one next.
Oh yeah,
The Saint. So first off, before I get into the home theater experience, this is The Saint from 1997, Val Kilmer. What's her name?
Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, there you go. Elizabeth Shue. And what did you guys think of this movie when it came out? I'm sure you saw it, right?
I saw it. Yeah, I thought it was okay. I don't remember being blown away by it.
I felt like it was
fun. Yeah.
Well,
I've seen it two or three times. It's what he fun, said. But yeah. But I'm hoping you're going to say the home theater experience is transcendent, because
I wouldn't go that far, but I'll be honest with you. I mean, when this, it just came to Blu-ray, I think the latest cut was in 2021.
Right.
And I grabbed that. I was like, ooh, cause I liked this movie. I had it on Laserdisc. I was like, I enjoyed it. I like Val Kilmer. I thought it was a fun movie. Yeah, it's not anything fantastic, but it was just back for the 90s movie. I thought it was decent. So it was last Tuesday, a week ago, I woke up and I'm like, what the? It got a 4K release on Kaleidoscape. And I'm looking it up. There's nowhere that it's, and it immediately, I was like, that maybe it was Wednesday. It might've been the day after we recorded, because remember last week on, I was talking about like, oh, if you're not like me with Kaleidoscape, here's another reason why you'd want Kaleidoscape. And it's one of the things I said when I first got it is if you want access to the best possible quality, right? And it's like, cause disc sometimes is the only place you can get the 4K with Atmos.
Right.
Kaleidoscape sometimes is the only place you can get the best. You know what I mean? So it's like, doesn't mean it has it all, but here we are. It's 4K. It's DTS Master Audio. But when I put the Blu-ray in after, like, I'd watched this for about an hour of it, and I'm like, oh, let me see what the Blu-ray looked like. And I threw the Blu-ray in, and it's like all these speckles on this. I mean, it was horrible. Wow. And I'm like, this was bad. And this came out in 2021, the new 4K version. I hope we get a disc for this, because it looks really nice. Really, really nice. It's all cleaned up. It's sharp. It's crisp. The picture, really, really good. HDR, really good, especially for a movie from 97. And when you go back to the Blu-ray, you're like, really bad. But the audio in this, I thought, was enhanced, not as much as the picture was, but I thought it was enhanced over the Blu-ray. And what I noticed, and I'd never noticed this before on this movie or really any other movie, but one of the things I felt like, I was like, this is the opposite of, like, say, The Covenant or, Ip Man 4, where we talk about the score. This goes in the opposite direction, where it used very little sound, and it's all the audio, like audio channels all around you, and it just sounded so good through the entire movie, like dishes clanking when they're meeting in the restaurant, or all different ambient sounds all around you, so much, you know, engagement, because you're like, ooh, it's quiet, okay, listen to that. There's the opening, but there is an opening scene where I heard something that I've never heard before. I went to the Blu-ray and it didn't do it to the same effect. Okay. So, I'm not sure if it's actually the guy, but you know, the character in this movie is supposed to be the bad guy. And he looks like, is he the guy that plays like the world's most interesting man? Is that the same guy? Do you know who I'm talking about?
I know you're talking about the guy from the
I've only seen it once in the cinema, and I've got no memory of this film at all.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who I'm talking about, John? Doesn't it look? Is it the same guy?
I can't picture him from the movie, because, again, it's been a number of years since I've seen this movie.
Anyways.
But I know who you're talking about from the commercials.
Right. So he's supposed to be some Russian leader or something, and he's walking into this big... they're announcing him coming to the stage, and he's walking in from the back. So you hear the crowd, your room is really taking, you know, giving you that effect of the crowd being around you, but the announcement is coming in a way, like it's placed appropriately, that the sound of the person speaking in an auditorium style. So you're getting the echo, but it is placed to a side. And when he's walking in, the speaker is to the left. The speaker, the actual box speaking for the guy on stage is off to the left. He walks in and it moves out and back away from your screen, away from the left side of the screen as the character moves away. So as he moves over, the camera pans, and it was weird. And I've never heard anything pan like off to the side and then come back in. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't go from front to rear or left to right. It actually stayed in the left, went further away, and then came back in. And when I did, like an hour later, go to the Blu-ray and do some comparison, I jumped back to this scene, and it does, you know, on the Blu-ray, it pans off to the left, like his voice would, but it doesn't push away and come back in the way it did on the Kaleidoscape. And I was like, wow. I'm like, that, it's, I just think it's a cleaner cut. Right. But all throughout the movie, I'm like, it's, I just thought it was really, like, really well done in a way that I hadn't seen before. And I had watched this movie probably a year ago when I got the Blu-ray, and I've had it a couple, you know, I've watched it a few times since I got the Blu-ray. And I thought that was okay. So I was really blown away by this. I hope everybody gets an opportunity to see the 4K. There's an echo scene at the end of it, which, you know, I like our echoes. Actually it made me realize last week when I talked about Star Wars 77, I got to get Star Wars in somehow. John, we're not, it's not our memories aren't bad. Going back to Star Wars 77 on that scene when they go, oh, you know, the bridge is out, right. You know, when they go to swing across, completely different echo in the Star Wars set. They redid the audio for that. And we don't, because she yelled, whatever they say, it actually repeats behind you exactly in Star Wars 77.
Right.
So it's not our memories are bad or our systems are wrong or anything like that. It's actually a different audio cut. So forgot to mention that last week. But there are some, you know, I have a whole bunch of scenes here, but we've got so many great things to get to today. I feel funny going through all of my scenes for The Saint. But needless to say, if you were a fan of the movie and I thought it was really good. I thought the sound was a lot of fun, and I thought the 4K was fantastic for this.
There's some people in chat. Van Gool is having a bit of a flashback. He says he remembered the theater was cold and not many people were there to see it.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting memory from the 90s.
Yeah.
And I think I'm more with Stephen Attias, who says it's not worthy of the Roger Moore TV show and the classic Volvo P1800. So as the token Brit, I think it's only appropriate that I fly the flag for Roger Moore.
I remember
James Bond.
When this movie came out, that the Volvo that he drives in this one was brand new. It wasn't even out yet. And then I was new to doing what I do for a living, and I had a Volvo dealership that summer, and they actually got one in just, and they advertised it from the movie The Saint. Same color. The color was called coral. I remember that. I actually had to fix a couple of them. But yeah, I that was a big deal. I don't know, but yeah. So, all right. That'll be it for The Saint, because I don't think everybody has the love I have of it, but okay.
I don't think so. Like I said, I saw it in the cinema. I haven't seen it since. I remember thinking it was okay, but I remember nothing about it other than Val Kilmer. Because you texted me the other day, didn't you? And said, I've just seen it. And I said, well, because you said, is it out over there in 4K?
Yeah, because I was like, I couldn't find it anywhere. So we got it in Kaleidoscape in 4K, but nowhere else. It's not speculated. It's not anything. And it's not even streaming, I don't think, in 4K that I know of. So I'm like, the studios must be planning something, because I don't know why. I doubt they would just give it to Kaleidoscape in 4K and never show up anywhere else.
Maybe there's an anniversary edition coming up, maybe.
Yeah.
I remember that it had Val Kilmer, and that was it. I'd forgotten even Elizabeth Shue was in it until I just saw that picture. I would give it another go. It comes out in 4K. If it's a Paramount disc, they've done some decent ones recently. So yeah. I'd probably pick it up out of curiosity.
I always have my notes. So anybody wants to chat about it, I got my notes. So I'll be happy to go over at 1:17 and 50 seconds. This is water dripping, clear as day, good volume, very discreet, not ambient at all. It's off to the side. It's great. So
please someone talk to me about The Saint, please.
I'm going to have to start another podcast.
Yeah. Please, yeah, sir. Yeah. We'll have to call it Simon Templar Tuesday, and you'll have to do that.
Oh, all right. That's enough. I'm sorry.
No,
who wants to go next? Yeah, no. John, how about you? Let's do something a little different than the last one.
Yeah. All right. So this is House of Flying Daggers. This was Blu-ray disc, 1080p, DTS master audio. No Dolby Atmos on there. This was a first time view for me. I had never seen this movie either. This was a gorgeous movie, even for Blu-ray, wow. 1080p. Like, the visuals in this movie were stunning. Some of the locations that they used, some of the colors. Steve, I'm assuming you've seen this movie? You have not. Okay.
I've never seen this. Yeah, but I don't have hands up. I have never seen it. Okay. But I know.
There's like a bamboo jungle scene that's all green. It looks fantastic. Mm. The score here, again, is really, really well done. A couple scenes that really stand out. In sort of beginning of the movie, there's a drum dance scene that's incredible. Even with, you know, again, it's upmixed to Neural X, so it's pseudo Atmos anyways.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is sound everywhere during this scene. Again, the kind of the fight that happens in the bamboo jungle. The sound is awesome in that scene as well. And throughout the movie, again, great martial arts, fantastic, home theater experience. The movie leaves a little bit to be desired for me. Like, it did leave me shaking, you know, scratching my head a couple times. I know that some of these in particular are pseudo comic book movies. But there was some things that happened here that really, I was like, I don't know where this is coming from or what's happening. And then I struggled at the end of the movie to figure out what the actual point was. Like, I don't know what neither side accomplished what they set out to accomplish. It's just kind of like, what did we do here? Like, when it's all said and done, everybody's dead, but I'm like, I don't know what happened.
I love you. You're like, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. Oh, it's a work of art. It made no sense.
And everybody died.
And I'm not saying it's not that it made no sense.
No, I know.
But there were some things that just really left me scratching my head. Like,
right.
It's like, I don't want to spoil it, but this isn't real spoiler. But like, the final battle, they're out in this field, and then all of a sudden, the sky opens up and it starts snowing out of nowhere. It looks like it's summertime, but all of a sudden it's going to snow. Because I guess the filmmaker felt like this fight would look good in the snow.
Yeah.
And then in like 30 seconds, there's like 9 feet of snow on the ground. It's just like, what is happening here? Like, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, my God.
But I will absolutely watch this movie a number of times. Because
just to see why it's snowing.
Because,
no, work out what happens.
Because the experience is great. The fights, the martial arts, everything about it is excellent. But it just kind of had me scratching my head a little bit.
John, the entire movie is an homage to climate change. You didn't know that?
I did not. No, thanks for setting me straight. Steve, you'll absolutely enjoy this movie, though.
I've seen it. It's great. I don't.
Oh, you've seen it. Okay.
A long time ago. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But I think it's an artist. It's just artistic. It's an artistic endeavor, which that's what I enjoy about the martial arts too. And I've said that before, as we're going through all of these, it's like the martial arts is artistic.
Right. It's the art, right?
Martial arts is much like golf. You don't even have to be against anybody.
Right.
To play. It's an art. So it's a dance. It's an art. Now, if you want to go against somebody, well, then let's see whose art is better. but that's what's fun about, that's what's great about it. And now when you add that to a movie, and we're going to talk about another one in a minute, show title, or in a few minutes anyways, it's you get an interpretation of everything. And that's what makes them, to me, that's what makes them so much fun. And that's why you're going to get something like, where the hell did the snow come from? Right. Or later on, sparks. Yeah.
Right. So are we classing Happy Gilmore and Tin Cup as martial art films, Deej? Is that what we're saying? So I know.
No.
My Tiger Crane golf is better than your Drunken Master golf.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously the point of all of these movies is the martial arts itself. It's just a showcase for martial arts. And, you know, like I said, it does its job here. It's the choreography, everything is awesome. That dance number, the drum dance, I mean, just the woman dancing and the art of that was great. The colors of the robes, and I mean, it's just visually, it's stunning. I mean, it really is a good looking movie. And like I said, if you've seen it, DJ, that green bamboo forest, those
that's what triggered it for me. I'm like, I've seen this one because that's what, you know what I mean? Like, you haven't seen something in a while and they all, they all have names like this. Like, have I seen that one? But as soon as you said that earlier, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that.
And it's like I said, it's great. But
the reason I haven't seen it is because I mean, I love martial arts movies, as you guys well know. Right. However, the ones I'm not so keen on are the ones whereas the wushu is very over the top. I'm not a fan of the people that, you know, they can stand on a blade of grass.
Of that in our next movie too.
That one has more of the grounded stuff than these ones do. These ones always say to me, you know, it's kind of, and I struggle with how that's presented. I prefer it to be more literally grounded. Right. And so that's why I've never seen it. I've seen bits and agree. I mean, it looks beautiful. And
I'll comment on that when we get there. But I have my thoughts on that as well. But
I mean, they're telling here is are Chinese fairy tales or Shakespearean kind of versions of it as well. But that's why I've never seen it, because the clips that I saw all looked very fantastical, and I sometimes struggle with that, and that's why I've never seen it. That's why I've never kind of sat down with it, because I'll be thinking, well, if anyone can do anything at any time, what I would like to see are demonstrations of athletic ability. You know, so I love the Bruce Lee movies and that kind of stuff, and the Donnie Yen ones, because
they're a little bit more grounded. Right.
Yeah. Whereas if you're flying around on a wire, you know, how much of this is real and how much of this is just kind of, you know, not that great. Right. So that's the thing.
Taking all my notes from the next one.
Sorry, Deej. Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
Can I just,
Deej, and it's funny because I didn't find it as pronounced in this movie as I do the next one.
Right.
Although there are some scenes because, again, I'll go back to the bamboo jungle scene. Like, there's a lot of that happening there. And, you know, and again, it's comic booky because you've got, let's say, 30 guys chasing them in this bamboo forest, but they must throw 900 bamboo stakes at them all at the same time. So unless each one of them's got 30 arms, it's like, where did all this bamboo come from? You know? So I struggle a little bit with some of that too, but
I just sort of
accept that it's a part of the genre and you know,
I get that.
Just kind of enjoy it for what it is. So
just off topic for a minute, Deej, can we just take a moment to welcome Francis to the chat? It's his first live live show. But can you also then immediately ban him for reasons that will become obvious?
Love it.
Hi, Francis. Bye, Francis.
Yep. That was short-lived, buddy.
Oh, God.
Funny thing is, he's shaking his head because he doesn't know what we're talking
about. We're laughing at. Yeah. Man. Poor Francis.
He's a bad boy.
That's great. All right. Who's up next, me or George?
I think George.
Right. Okay, that's it.
Which do you want? Your choice here, Steve. I think. What do you have left? Obviously the last one. So we share your last two.
Sly Stallone. Let's deal with Sly finally, because this came over from last week.
Right. Yeah. So
this, I think
you have some stuff to say, but where is your version of it?
Got it. You got the thing.
Well, let's see. Why don't I have yours?
Because it's not from last week.
Right, but it should still be in here.
Yeah, it's still in the notes.
Yeah, no, I know. Oh, there it is.
Stone Cold Classic.
There we go.
Isn't.
Here we go. I just wanted to pull your graphic.
No, I've definitely never seen this movie.
I hadn't either.
Oh, really?
No.
I hadn't. And let's get into it, because by the end of it, now, obviously, look, you saw it and then I saw it. It's only on disc. It's not on Kaleidoscape. This is another one where, if you're looking at my image right here, yours was a little different. Mine's called I See You. Yours is called Detox. Stallone from, what is it? What year was this?
2000 and, why not put it in the, I thought I might have put it in my notes, actually.
2002. 2002.
Yeah.
2002. I see you over here in the States. And it's on Amazon right now. I got it $17.99. I bought it long before last week's show. I thought
you just picked it up. Yeah.
Yeah, but something made me just grab it because I'm like, what the? But holy crap. Oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. My screen had that. That's one of those moving screen images. Right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, he's in a snowstorm, and I'm like trying to wait and get the best picture, and I couldn't because it's all faded, anyways. But
yeah,
that's this is. Okay. I thought this was really good.
Yeah.
considering I've never heard of it. I'm not saying it's the greatest movie ever. I'm not putting it up there with The Saint.
No Transformers.
But yeah, right. Exactly. But for a movie that I'd never heard of, I'm shocked.
Okay, I'm surprised you hadn't heard of it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it in the cinema when it came out. And I remember seeing it and thinking, yeah, you know, very average, even for Stallone at that time. And he was on his slide at this point because he's had a bit of a topsy-turvy career. And I think at this particular time, 2002, he was on the slide a little bit, and he was slide, as it were.
Slide, yes.
He was on the slide. And this was one of those. And this film was notorious when it came out. One of the reasons that there's different titles is because this film was heavily edited and reworked in post-production. Like the Suicide Squad, you know, the David Ayer one.
This was maybe I saw a different version.
well, they filmed it, showed it to test audiences who all hated it, and then what that happened then, of course, is when you get a jittery studio, they came in and then started re-editing it to the preview audiences, and of course, you know, look, there's three of us here, we don't always agree. So trying to get a room together with 90 odd people together and then trying to make a film that appeals to everybody is not the way to go, is it?
Right.
And yet that's what they did on this, and they were doing it again and again and again. So this has been heavily reworked, and I think it's fairly clear. Once you know that, you watch it, you're like, yeah, okay, I can see the joints. So anyway, this is the first time I've saw it since the cinema. I was out the other day in a shop here, and I picked up A Clockwork Orange in 4K. And I don't know if you guys are like me. When I go into a store, if I've got a bit of money spare and you know, I buy one disc and think, well, I've got some left, let's have a look elsewhere. And I just happened to see this and I thought, oh, I haven't seen it for ages, I'll pick it up, which I did. And so, yeah, the film is still deeply average for me. It doesn't make a lick of sense, not even slightly. And I don't, and again, I think that's the post-production messing around. None of it makes sense. It's a film about a police officer who's been chasing a serial killer, as they always did in the early 2000s and late 90s. So chasing a serial killer takes it personally, tragedy strikes. And then poor Sylvester here is, not with Tweety, is sent to a remote rehab unit, for reasons unknown. It's remote and in the middle of nowhere. And then suddenly, wouldn't you know it, the serial killer turns up again and starts offing people for no apparent reason.
Right.
So that's the story, and that's all there is to it. It is, to be fair, less of an action film. It is a little bit more of a drama than perhaps you might expect with Stallone.
I would have called it thriller horror. Yeah. Like, yeah, on that. It's got a decent amount of gore. You know, I've seen horror movies with less gore. Yeah, yeah. And it's a thriller because you don't know, you know, it, you know, it's a mystery thriller, horror, whatever. Most of the action, I wouldn't call it an action movie because most of the action takes place off screen and then you get the remnants of it.
I think that's fair.
I thought the home theater part of it was awesome.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. This is, I mean, I think this wants to be Seven. I think this is what it wants to be. And
yeah, it's actually Seven in reverse. They start with the end. No, you know what I mean? Like they open with the ending of Seven, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, yeah, it, slight spoiler, but it's the very beginning of the movie, so you get your motivation. And then, but yeah, so it's kind of like that without the great story that Seven has with it, you know, biblical, you know, tie-ins and all of that, and the guy's making a statement and everything. This one, like you said, there's no rhyme or reason. You don't know what the hell's going on. It's just blood, gore, and action for action's sake, right? And but I think the home theater part of it, though,
that's the thing. It's great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did you think? I love the audio. My very first note is very tempted to say demo worthy from start to finish.
I think that's good. Yeah, it is. I mean, the video, I think, is, again, showing its age and its budget as well. I think it was a mid-budget movie. And I think there are some soft scenes, and the dark stuff doesn't always, the blacks don't always hold up. But again, it is only 1080p. But yes, the audio is very good. I don't know if I'd quite get to demo level, but it's not far off.
Right.
The reason that Seven particularly leapt to mind is the credit sequence, where you've immediately got all these voices filling the room.
Yeah.
And you've got all this. And that said Seven to me straight up, which I think has got one of the great credit sequences of all time.
Yes.
Next to Psycho and things like that. I mean, it's fantastic. And so this tries to echo that, but I love the voices moving around the room.
Echo that? I see what you did there.
Well, there you go. Subtle. And so you have to say, which Detox isn't. But all the voices moving around the room right from the very beginning, and that was really evocative. And so the sound leaps off the screen right to the back of your room and fills it with these noises. And I think that's great. And look, Stephen Attia again is saying in chat about the storm sequences.
Yes, you know,
all that sounds really great. And also the rehab facility has a little life of its own. Again, you can hear this. It reminded me of a bit of Lighthouse, actually. You know, there's all this thrumming and whirring of the machinery and the generators and all that. And that is effective and actually takes a very run of the mill story and makes it more interesting. But I'm not sure I'd call it demo worthy, but it's very good for a film of its time, if that makes sense. And it upmixes beautifully. Again, interesting. Steven said he did it via Auro 3D.
Yeah.
And so we're obviously doing it via NeuralX. And again, like we said earlier, whenever you've got a storm, I think, you know, NeuralX knows, look, that goes above you and it goes around you. And so that, you know, it really does upmix well. So, yeah. I thought the score
in this was really good, too. Really added a lot to the tension.
Yeah.
Moved well around the room. Gave you that real horror thriller vibe, like most horror thrillers do with the score, you know. but I didn't think the bass was like crazy deep.
Yeah, no.
But you didn't need it. You really didn't need it. It's like there was so much going on. That's why I said I was tempted to say it's demo worthy, because it's like it's just so engaging audio wise throughout the movie. I actually felt like the image quality was really good. You don't need HDR. I thought the way they shot it was like the inside, like of the rehab facility. It was, you know, you have that concrete, it's, you know, it was very high contrast and it played well. It was the tones, you know, cold air outside, warm here, warm there. I thought everything played really well. At times you were like, or I felt like I was like, is this H? No, this is just 1080.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. I thought it looked good. I mean, it's funny. I watched this one after The Saint. So I happened to be like, look, I happened to notice artifacts popping up, just a couple here and there. Nothing that would be like, I probably wouldn't have noticed them if I hadn't just watched the Blu-ray of The Saint and watched them. Looks like somebody shook the salt shaker on the movie. But I thought it was really good. I think the audio in this really shined.
It's the audio that you'd pull the disc off the shelf to show it to someone for. Yeah. If you were going to do it, that's what you'd do it for. It's solid. Again, I'm keeping it in the collection. It's not one that I'm going to watch routinely, but it's there, and it's one of those it's that you dig out and put on every now and then. It was okay.
I had a line chat, for you. Okay, go ahead.
What did I do?
Francis asking what he did. Should we tell him? Or should we just say read the screen, Francis?
I don't know.
Read the screen.
read the screen on the second one down. George, I had a quote for you from the movie. I wanted to know if this was an homage to one of our favorite movies.
Fifth Element?
Yeah. No. First Blood. Do Jerk Walk. at around 27 minutes and 30 seconds, somebody in the movie says Jerkwater, Wyoming. And I'm wondering if that's
USA. Yeah. Killed for vagrancy in Jerkwater,
USA. Yeah, exactly. Oh, so that's why I'm like, from First Blood, I'm like, I thought that might have been an homage. Because how often do you hear Jerkwater anything in a movie, you know? And I'm like, and now it's a Stallone movie to boot.
Let me see. Here lies John Rambo, Congressional Medal of Honor winner, survivor of countless incursions behind enemy lines.
Yep.
Killed for vagrancy in Jerkwater, USA.
Yep. Nice. Nicely done. Yeah, exactly. I have a scene at 58:45, the tent flapping, which I thought was fun because like it's on off to the left side, which happens to be where my door is. And it's so like the characters are talking. I think it was a tent or something. And then like the little flap of the door was over there, but it's a little further away where my door is. So it would have had to push even further off screen. And it was so loud and discreet. I thought it was my son coming in the room. And I'm like, I'm looking at my door like, is he coming in? And then I look, I'm like, the movie's still going. I go, oh, I backed it up because it went away. And I backed it up and watched it again. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like turning my head to look. It's pretty funny. So
let's say the audio is good. That is the reason you'd watch it. No question. You know.
One other thing. How about the cast? For a movie I never heard of, Stallone, Chris Christopherson, Jeffrey Wright in a role that you wouldn't, back then, we didn't know who Jeffrey Wright was, but now you look back and go, oh my God, that's Commissioner Gordon. Tom Berenger, Robert Patrick, Stephen Lang, which we know from Avatar now.
Yeah.
And then Charles Dutton.
I know him from Tombstone.
Yeah, Charles S. Dutton. I know Stephen Lang from The Hard Way. That's what I always think of. Michael J. Fox and James Woods film.
I wouldn't have remembered him in that one.
No, I love
that. I remember Charles Dutton from Rudy.
And Alien 3 is what I always think of Charles S. Dutton from.
I always just remember him clapping at the end. And so, like, it was awesome. But
It is a heck of a film. I mean, did either of you watch the trailer? Remember I said last time about how the trailer gives away the killer?
No, you said not to.
Yeah, well, quite. So obviously, we're not going to say who the killer is. But bearing in mind the killer's particular cadence, shall we say, you know, without the modulation, you're going to know straight away who it is. And the trailer, it's very clear.
Right. That's, yeah. Kind of dropped the ball on that one.
So. Yeah, well, again, it's another example of the problems that they went in post-production on that film. It clearly wasn't meant to be a whodunit, and they've only created that in post-production.
Yeah. So,
by the way, you'll never go up to a peephole in the door the same way again, will you, DJ?
I usually don't.
just open the door.
I think that's been done before in movies. Either that or you get shot.
I mean, it's in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler. There's a drill goes through one of these things as someone puts their eye up to it.
Would hurt, I think.
I
would think as well.
All right. What's I'm up next. Here we go. Mm-hmm. For those of you interested in knowing, so this is, Mario, Super Mario Brothers, 4K. Dolby Atmos, 4K is really good. Really good.
Good, 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 good.
But I have to, like, now you guys saw it in the theater.
I haven't seen it at all.
Oh, I thought you did. Mm-mm. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you did, John. No. But the 4K on this, the HDR, so I feel like that they did this on purpose, but like the outdoor scenes, when you first, like, don't think that it's getting washed out. It's not. I don't think. It's like there's a lot of bright outdoor scenes, and they wash it like the sunlight, and it creates a sense of depth. So like what's really nice is like when they get close on characters, there's the black levels go really deep. But for the most part, when you look at your whole screen, it looks a little washed out, but it's because it's so bright. Then on some indoor scenes, this is all animated, but some indoor scenes, you're in a dungeon or wherever, same thing. It's a little washed out, but if you look very closely, you'll see like the haze is moving or it's smoke or it's there's a lot of depth to this that I think it's mostly for, you know, kids. So they're not going to notice and appreciate these things. But as I'm watching it, because I'm just like, okay, this is my, I mean, I'm just looking for something to be entertained by. And in the end, the HDR really had me entertained. As a movie, I mean, I played the game. I get the game. They go into their little scenes and I'm like, okay, it's Mario and they're reenacting the movie or the game. And they tried to place it into the movie. I wasn't super enamored with it. It's not, but I get the story. But then the sound as well, opening scene on the sound, bass lovers are going to be like, oh my God, it's all missing. Cause there are some like big animals that come in at the beginning. And I'm like, I literally checked my subwoofers to see if they were on. But I think that has more to do with, I have no idea what it's only in the, not only, but it doesn't go deep like Lucy. Like some of the scenes you would expect some really deep thumps. You don't get that. But I thought the bass throughout the movie was really good. But when you see this opening scene, you're going to be like, I think you'll hear in what I experienced. And you're like, huh, what happened? Like you've seen it, Steve. Yeah. So like the big boom, yeah. Boom, boom.
Seen it twice, in fact. I'm not sure it was meant to be. I mean, I think for us looking at it, you think, oh God, here we go. But a bit, it does skew young.
Right.
And I think if you're watching that with young kids, and I've seen it twice with a little viewing buddy who loves it. And I must admit, I enjoy this film. I like this film. This bizarrely, Deej, will be a Shawshank film for me because I could just stick it on and it's such an easy watch. You could just sit and watch it, and, you know, just let it go.
That's why I chose it this morning. I had this, I had this, and what was the other one? Not Silo.
Sisu.
Yeah. I had this and that to choose from, and I'm like, all right, I got to go with this.
Yeah.
You know, because I knew I could get it in before work. And,
but that opening scene, I think if the whole room moved, then I think young kids would actually find that off-putting and of course that would make it more scary. And I don't think this is supposed to be scary at all.
No,
you know, it's supposed to be funny. I mean, the little penguin things are very cool. Did you recognize, by the way, I mean, Walking Dead fans that you are, that the lead penguin is the, but what about you, John?
Yeah. I watch it all. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the penguin king in this is Ezekiel from Walking Dead. And you can, the voice is brilliant. That is but a taste of our fury. Yeah, very, very funny. So it's not meant to be scary in any way. This is not Puss in Bootsing it. This is supposed to be, you know, all the family can watch this from 2 to 52 and just kind of...
See, I'm 53. It's right outside my wheelhouse.
So there you go. You're outside of the demographic.
We're done. We're done.
So I've seen it twice. And I've seen it all the way through twice. I've seen bits of it many times, in fact. And as I said, little viewing buddy loves it. You know, really, really enjoyed it. And I think it's great. I'm glad you said about the 4K because I'm going to pick this up day one. I can't wait to see this in Atmos and give it with knowing the bass is lacking, I expected that.
Yeah. It's not completely lacking as you go through the movie. There's some nice vibration, nice thumps in it. But yeah, when you see that opening scene, especially again, coming off of, you know, The Covenant or an action movie and stuff, you'll be like, ugh. Even in the Covenant has far more contrast. It felt like more contrast than this movie, but this movie, I think they're doing it on purpose, but that's supposed to be reality. I think what they're doing here. And the other reason they did a little bit more of the washed out look in by creating like a sun glare or whatever is to give it a more of a different feel than the video game. If they just went high contrast, it would have just felt more like, you know, the high contrast video game. Right. So I think they were trying to create a bit different sense of reality for these characters instead of being in the game. It's this is their reality outside the game.
Yeah, so. I'm gonna be interested to see because there are again that opening scene in particular. Again, I have seen it loads, but that particular scene lots of times. The opening, you've got the lava, you've got the snow, you've got the there's an aurora borealis overhead.
Yeah,
and then you've got the thing and all those sort of colors. I'm looking forward to seeing how that
that's cool.
interchanges. Yeah, so
very nice.
It's night, so you get the deep blacks as well, hopefully.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, good. I'm really looking forward to getting this. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's a great movie for you know, if you got a home theater and you got kids, especially little kids, definitely grab this is a fun one for like and Steve said
about,
for everybody.
What about big little kids?
Well, yeah. I don't know if I'm gonna be rewatching it a lot. But
well, you're 53,
I definitely,
mate. You're outside,
I know it's right outside of the house.
Yep.
But my grandchildren are going to love it if I have them.
When they get to be two.
Yeah, exactly. Before. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 2 to 52. All right. That's it for that. You want to do, we've got one last one before we do the one that we all did.
So, we've got, did you say we've got the one to do before we all did?
Here we go. There's Steve's grab. There's Mike. Where did mine go?
That's another moving one, by the way. That's another moving one that I had to try and time it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You doing it? Do you want me to do it? How are we going? Who's going?
Go. You go, because I'll load up some pictures. I got to load up some other stuff too, but you go and we're just going to riff. This is a movie made for riffing.
Well, quite. Yeah. This is the one. The Jet Li Extravaganza from 2001. There is only that's the only way to describe it, really. Now it is right, Deej. You mentioned this a few weeks ago, and as soon as that went, you said that it went into my brain and it's stuck there.
Sorry,
I've seen this. No. I have seen this film 20 times, 30 times, maybe more. And the reason for that is when it came out in 2001, DVD was in its heyday. I had a portable DVD player with a screen, you know, and a thing.
Yeah.
And this was one of the 50 or so movies I used to carry with me wherever I went in a little CD pouch. And so I have seen this film, as I said, 20, 30 times, maybe more. Cause back then it was good back then. And so when you mentioned it recently, I hadn't seen it for so long and that went into my head and I thought, ooh, I need to see this again. And so last Friday lunchtime at work in the office, I thought I'm going to watch it. And I found a stream of it. And I put it on my iPad. Things have moved on a bit since 2001. So I put it on my iPad Pro, which is quite big. And I thought, yes, 12.9 iPad Pro. I thought, I'll bug it on there, right, whilst I'm having my lunch. And I found a stream, and I watched the stream, and the stream looked dreadful. Okay, it was grainy. It was flat. It looked awful. And I watched about 20 minutes. And because it looked so bad, everything else was terrible as well. All the acting suddenly leapt off and just, oh my God, what am I watching? So I thought, right, that's it. And I stopped it. Got home Friday night, put the Blu-ray on, completely different audio and video experience, totally different.
Yeah.
Right from the very beginning, the very first police patch that you see just looked completely different. So I watched it again many years later, as it were. And I now realize that loads of it is absolute crap.
Oh, God, yeah. I was trying to tell you.
Well, quite. And I had forgotten Statham was in it, one. Bear in mind how many times I've seen it. And I'd forgotten that this was his first attempt at an American accent. And let's put that in air quotes, shall we?
That's what that was.
Because I think that's him trying to do an American accent. I mean, it is. Because of course he's dropping all his, he's saying everything with an American way. He doesn't say can't, he says can't. And he's just got this kind of this weird, very odd accent in it. And why is he talking out the side of his mouth like he's Popeye?
So here's how I rectified that.
You just talked over him.
it was like his accent was the equivalent to Al Gore being president.
Yes.
We're in a different universe. That's just it. That's all. It's a multiverse movie. It's literally, you know, and what's funny is when I saw it a couple of weeks, I'd seen it years ago as well. Right. And it was like, that was back in the heyday. And you're like, oh, okay. Like I told you before, like Jet Li from Lethal Weapon. I'm like, I wanted to see his movies. And you're just like, and it was good back then, but I honestly had forgotten multiverse stuff until it didn't, this didn't even ring a bell when we started getting talk of multiverse coming up in Marvel and DC and all of this. Nothing. It was, and it's probably because, you know, your brain is smart and it tries to take traumatic events and push them to the back. so I was just like, oh, okay. But then you watch this, and I think a lot of people did too, because somebody on Twitter was like, yeah, I seem to remember there was a multiverse vibe to it. I'm like, vibe? It's like, that's what it's about. And I think there's a good story in there if it was executed better. Home theater wise, I thought it was fun. I mean, the opening scene, it like the imagery looks 3D on disc. Or on, like, yeah, yeah. I have it on Kaleidoscape, which I got to imagine. It's both. Is mine in 4K?
It says HD. No, it says HD on that picture there.
Screen. I'm not sure that's right. I'll have to double check that.
Okay. I might have put HDR on. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't think this got 4K HDR.
Yeah, mine was this is a Blu-ray. I mean, there's no.
Yeah. But I think mine is also Dolby True HD, and it's the true eight, this compared to, and I did go back and compare it to the stream, and the stream, you're right, is dreadful. It is awful when you look at it, especially audio wise. It is flat, and so definitely disc, you know, Kaleidoscape, whatever. But if you're going to have some fun, Leave your brain in the door and your American accent or whatever you're going to do. But,
yeah. John, have you seen it? Have you seen it, John?
I don't think so.
Oh, so do we recommend it then, Deej? Do we recommend it for John?
Well, I'd have to buy it, right? Because I'm not going to stream it.
So. Don't stream this. Don't stream it.
Don't stream it. And I don't know. I can't say it's like Hurricane
Raging Fire, by the way.
So. Yeah.
Oh, legend.
I don't know. But I did. All right. I did get that graphic wrong. It isn't. It's only in 1080 because I only have two scenes. And the last one is at 1 hour, 10 minutes and 50 seconds. Sparks are flying. And my first note was, I would have sworn that was in HDR. It looks good. It looks amazing. Yeah. So crisp. Sparks are, it looks awesome. It does look really good, but it isn't in 4K on Kaleidoscape. It is only 1080p. So I'm sorry I got that graphic wrong.
The video is decent, and actually there are no speckles. There's no print speckles. I think it was shot digitally anyway, and it does look really nice. And there is lots of detail. I like the kind of Terminator 2-esque kind of, and this is the only time this will ever be compared to Terminator 2. But I like the Terminator 2-esque kind of the very cool blue nighttime effects at the beginning where you get, and so you get the red of the cop cars of the lights and you get the brightness of their headlights, but then the cool blue of everything around it, which serves it quite well. Audio wise, it is nice right from the beginning. I think it's decent. And I like how when they first go back to whatever the universe is they're normally in, you get that nice kind of upward funnel effect that goes up through the helicopter blades. And that went right to the top of my room. I felt the whoosh of the sound as it went up. So that was a nice little effect. It was good. As I said, Statham, every time he's on the screen, you're just thinking, whoa, this is a Razzie level performance that I had blocked out. When you said Statham was in it way back when, you can go back and listen. And I'm like, was he in? Are you sure he was? You know, I didn't remember he was in it.
Yeah.
For good reason. And then, but
your brain's protecting you.
And yet, bear in mind how many times I've seen it. It is an extreme guilty pleasure, as I think I put on Twitter. I don't know. Do we recommend it to John? I think, John, if you can get it cheaply, you know, bearing in mind the rabbit hole you're going down, and you'll have a blast with this, especially if you've had a couple of drinks or, you know, a couple of hundred, then I think you'll have it. You'll be laughing
any
at
any excuse.
It. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Not Diet Coke, though. Get back to the gin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think in the right frame of mind, going in with this is nonsense, you might actually have a really good time with it. And
I'll probably
pick the thing
up.
The thing over Twitter at the weekend, it kind of blew up a bit, this.
Right. Yeah.
Again, as you said, Deej, loads of people go, oh, my God, that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a guilty pleasure. And I commented, I'm like, yeah, real guilty. Like, this is legit. Yeah. This is one of those ones that's a legit guilty pleasure, right? Because a lot of guilty pleasures we've said have come on, turned into really good. We're like, I don't feel guilty about that at all. This is legit. This is like, all right, I like it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in spite of myself. I know right. I shouldn't hurt. So, yeah,
is fun.
Yeah, get it cheap, John. Get it cheap and have a look, yeah. And then let us know. And you can blame us. We'll reimburse you.
Yeah,
if it's
yeah.
crap, we'll just Venmo you the money.
Coffers. Yeah.
Van Gogh, I need to see the one. Just don't be mad at us because we were honest about it.
It does have one of the greatest last lines in cinema history, though, to be fair. Who needs Some Like It Hot? You know, nobody's perfect
yeah.
or anything like that. This one has the greatest final line, I think, in cinema history.
Yeah, this Steven At never saw this before this weekend, ahead of its time. Now everything is about multiverses. It's so true. So true.
Yeah.
So this is, yeah. All right. Let's lead off our next movie. We might as well lead it off with this. Steve, you want to take that?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So this is, are we doing our little listener experience of Sound of Deej, or are we just going to mix this?
Just this one. We're going to mix this in because this was actually saved from this listener experience comes from Paul. It was saved from last week. This is one of the ones we didn't get to last week because we end at 7 o'clock. So we got to go quick here because we've only got, what are we at, John?
5 minutes.
We got 35 minutes. So we got this movie and some listener experiences in 4K. So, but this was left over.
John Ciccone is the official timekeeper.
That's right.
Yeah. HD podcast. He shuts us off. Yep.
I need the kill switch is what I need.
Yeah. Hey, it's not that bad. Yeah.
I would have been killed a long time ago.
All right. So Paul says, and I think it's Paul Hurt. I think it is. In the chat. So he says, hey, just a thought. I noticed on Twitter that John and Steve are planning to watch Crouching Tiger on 4K disc the same week, maybe the same day, so they can review it on the show, which got me thinking. Why not announce a movie to, quote, group watch, end quote, each week? Then you could invite comments from listeners and include some of the comments in your review on the show the following week. Better still, do the review 2 weeks later, so it gives listeners time to buy the disc if they don't already have it, watch it, and send their comments. It would make sense to me if it's an existing release rather than a new one, so there's a chance that some of us might already own it, and those that don't can pick it up at a reasonable price if they want to join in. I think it would also be advisable to select movies and transfers that are generally regarded as good. No one wants to find they've spent money on a stinker. Though I realize this is all subjective. I guess that rules out group watching The Fifth Element. Sure does. But if any reviewers need to recuse themselves from a group watch, that's okay. Yeah, that'll be me on that one then. I did a few group watches with various people during lockdown. Definitely adds something knowing your friends are watching the same movie somewhere. Hope the house plans are progressing. It must be from a couple of weeks ago, Deej. Enjoying the podcast. Cheers from extra rainy London, Paul.
Yeah, so thanks, Paul. Obviously, I mean, great idea. We've had this idea suggested by multiple people, right, Steve?
Yeah, and I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly. So when we do it, it's great to do it. And we are starting to get a little bit more in that direction. But I never want to nail that down as like a weekly thing that we're going to do, because then it just becomes, it inevitably becomes too much of a chore. Then it's like, oh, I got to watch this week, or I got to do this. I like when it happens we see each other's stuff. Right. So we see the notes, and I had Crouching Tiger. They were already talking about, I'm like, bang. All right. That's easy to do. So we're doing that right now. But yeah, we are trying to, you know, because of this new format, we're be able to spend more time on this and take in more comments and everything from everybody. So, hopefully it'll work out, and I'll be putting everything on Twitter. I'm going to try to do that more and more, like I did this week. Yeah. So people see what we're going to be talking about today. I don't know why, some reason I had an idea that it was better to be a surprise, but I guess not.
it's better when it is. I agree. It's better when it's more organic, isn't it? It just grows naturally out of kind of what we're watching. And we are, to be fair, all three of us. I've been doing it for ages because I'm like that. I just like the attention on Twitter. But the three of us are now starting to do a kind of now watching, now showing. One of us has copied my Cinema George idea, John. But sorry, did I say that?
No, he didn't. Okay. His is
so Cody.
Yeah, well, he went backwards.
I went backwards.
And to be fair, I'm Cinema the one John, that's,
and I was like, definitely changed that.
I'm the one that told him. I'm like, come on, you got the CC right there. And what do? You go to the movies to see the movie.
see the movie. But we are getting good about now.
Imitation is the best form of flattery, Steve.
Well, there you go. I like George. Oscar Wilde.
Like I said last week, a good artist borrows, a great artist steals.
Right. Yeah, and like I said last week, do not use that in court. because it won't work.
John, I think he's going to sue you now.
I think so.
That was a threat.
He just laid down the habeas corpus on me.
Yeah, you want to call that shit.
Oh, I hate that.
Where's the wig, Steve?
Yeah. Just because I need it doesn't mean I wear it. All right. Ed Sheeran, need him on the podcast. John, get a few tips. We are getting good, though, at putting now watching on Twitter. So we're all good at watching each other's feeds. Yeah.
I did manage to watch the one Crouching Tiger and Detox this week. I had Crouching, the other two I had to grab, but it did become a little bit of a gotta get this done. you could always wait and just not listen to us till you're done too.
we are doing that.
Sending listeners away.
Yeah. We all get excited when we see stuff we're all watching and we're like, I'll watch that too. So it's more organic than a this is your homework for the week thing, which is what I'd suggested. And I get that that's a pain.
Everybody does. It's a great idea, but it inevitably, it's a great idea up front. But then when you start doing it week after week, you're like, my God. Yeah, we did.
We started that way.
That's how I knew.
This week we're going to watch this. And then I was like, all right.
Yeah,
quite. I've got a bunch of other stuff to watch, but I guess I'm going to watch this. You know.
Yeah.
It's fun when we do it this way. We do it organically, and it's just, do you know what? I'll watch that too. And if we're all in sync, not the crap band, then it's all good. You know, then on. Yeah, because we don't want to do it that way. Anyway, so sorry.
Let's get to it.
All right.
We start with John's image, and his notice is two subwoofers down there.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, and they are in place. They haven't danced away.
So. This isn't an action shot, everybody.
No. Yeah, so obviously we've already said it. We're going to talk about Crouching Tiger, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Yep. Steve and I both watched the 4K disc with HDR and Dolby Atmos.
Yep.
DJ, I'm assuming Kaleidoscape.
Yep. 4K Atmos. Same thing on Kaleidoscape. Yep. So I got to imagine for you guys, I think we're all, it should be in agreement that it looks amazing.
Nope. Yeah, I've seen this many times, but this is the first time I've ever seen it in HDR 4K. Mm. I didn't see this in the theater, so this is the first time I've ever seen it large and in charge. like that. And we haven't discussed previously, although I have a pretty good idea how Steve views this movie as well. It's a masterpiece of the genre. I don't know that it's a masterpiece of a film like in the world, but in of this genre, it is fantastic. It's beautiful. It's cinematic. The score, I think it won the Oscar for this.
Yeah.
Its score. Mm-hmm. It's haunting. It's amazing. A fantastic movie. So
having suffered through Gemini Man, having suffered through Billy Lynn's long halftime walk, it's nice to see an Ang Lee film that I enjoy.
Hulk.
The Hulk's all right. I'm not as good. I prefer the Louis Leterrier version personally. But the Hulk's okay. Very, very of its time.
Right. Yes.
This is the rare martial arts movie that crossed over into the mainstream. You know, it was nominated for best film.
It was nominated for best film. It did win best foreign film, I believe.
Yeah. But. Yeah. So this was a crossover into the mainstream, and it is a lovely film.
A lot of people wanted it to win. There was a lot of Oscar buzz for this. A lot of people wanted it to win.
Yeah. It's a lovely film. It's a really well told, easy to watch, very enjoyable movie. And told with an Eastern flair. You know, by the way, the problems filming this were legendary as well. I didn't realize Chow Yun-fat, Michelle Yeoh didn't speak Mandarin and had to learn Cantonese and Mandarin to even do this film.
Oh, really?
They speak it with an accent, apparently. I've been on IMDb, fellas. I can't help myself. And so there were all kinds of issues filming this and all kinds of problems with it and you know, chopping and changing of actresses. There was the woman who plays Jen, who, of course, Ji Xiaomu, something like that.
Yeah.
She was dropped in 2 days before they started filming because the actress that was originally, get this, guys, the actress that was originally cast was pulled off the show, pulled off the film by her agent to go and film a Pepsi commercial.
Oh my God.
So she went and did that.
Good call.
Jin Xiaomu or Ji Xiaomu right. stepped in, becomes a, you know, in an Oscar winning movie, becomes an international star. And we've never heard of the poor girl that went and did the Pepsi commercial. I'm right. told she changed agents after that. I wonder why. So anyway, but the film's really, really good. And it hasn't aged differently. It's still just as good now, I think. Now tell me though, guys, what you thought of the video. Because I've got some issues with the video a bit.
Really?
I thought it was yeah. I thought it looked great. Really good, yeah.
Okay. Because I thought initially, when it first comes on screen, it's very soft. Right. There's a long shot of the village over a lake, and I thought that looked really soft. And when I first saw that, I thought, uh-oh, that's a problem. And I was thinking, oh, God, I hope it's not. Because I've had the 4K disc for years, and I've never got around to watching this, which is why I was glad to
revisit
it. And I wondered if this was pre the Sony remasters, because they've been very, very good recently, haven't they, the last few years. Right. So it started soft, and there were some shots, and only individual shots, but there were some shots that I thought looked very digital because of the grain management, and it looked manipulated, and it stood out to me a little bit. They are only shots, not scenes, because there are entire sequences in this that look incredible. You know, the nighttime scenes look great. Some of the later kind of daylight stuff looks beautiful. But there are individual shots that look digitally manipulated in terms of the grain, and there are some softer shots from some of the exteriors. So I had some issues a little bit with the video, but not enough to say don't buy it, don't watch it. I mean, it's as good as it's ever looked, if, you know, and then some.
No.
Because this, of course, was a Superbit release, wasn't it? On DVD.
Yes. Yep.
So
I remember, I think I still have it. Yeah.
You should compare it, actually, Deej. You'd be curious to see what putting them side by side would be.
That wouldn't play well. And that's what I kept thinking through this. It's obviously it's never looked this good.
Mm. Yeah.
And to get to your HDR comment, I like have in my notes at 1 hour, 37 minutes, 30 seconds, I called it the tree fight,
right?
Yeah. Right. I'm like, the HDR made that look like something I hadn't seen before. It was the depth in the trees, the highlights, not just the depth, but the shadows, I mean, between each leaf. But those, you know, leaves like that will typically have a really bright highlight on it, and it did. And it was just very rich, very detailed. Mm. And, you know, and of course everything's moving. That to me was like, maybe you're right about a particular shot or something like that. But I thought overall, artistically, I thought this movie really was enhanced by the 4K and the HDR over everything we'd seen before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The details and stuff, at 9 minutes and 15 seconds, they're pulling the sword out of the scabbard. I took the notes for the sound, which I thought was absolutely amazing. That high pitch went, excuse me. But the way it rang out in your room, I thought was, but even the detail, looking at that sword, looking at the scabbard, looking at everything. And then even their skin tones, characters wearing masks and so, you know, over their faces, but then you're seeing what I think is fun is, like, especially when, you know, it's a female character wearing the mask, but you can still see that fairer skin compared to if it was a guy wearing the mask. You could see, and I think, you know, 4K HDR, all the detail that gets pulled out, you can really see that, and then their eyes, the detail there. But I just thought there was so much to take in above and beyond what we've already taken in seeing it before. You know,
I thought the nighttime stuff looked lovely. The shadows and the black levels look really, really nice. I mean, almost better than some of the daytime stuff. I mean, it looked really good, But if for an extended sequence, all the stuff in the desert looked really nice. I thought that was really three-dimensional and looked really, really good. And this is why I feel bad nitpicking on shots.
Yeah.
Because all of that looked great. The cave that they're in looks really good as well. There's all the different colors and gradations on the walls and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, the video is very, very good, just not quite referenced based on some of the other Sony stuff I've seen. But the audio is great, as you say. I mean, I love the first fight when you get that drum beat. You talked earlier, John, about the drums in House of Flying Daggers.
Right.
There's that sequence here where it's, you know, it's boom, 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 boom as they're fighting. And that just gives so much kind of heft to it. It's really, really, and it's exciting. You know, it drags you into it. And again, it's a dance. And so that kind of that rhythm that beat is really, really nice.
Yeah, 16 minutes when the stealing the sword thing and the fight sound, the drums, but you also had the lanterns against the blue sky, the nighttime blue, right? It's just that war. I mean, it's just, that's why I get so infatuated with stuff like that, that I, you know, I'm Brightside. Sorry. That's why I'll miss that, like that a couple of softer scenes or something that's like, oh, what happened? Sorry. <You know?
laughs> it's a great disc and well worth buying. I mean, again, I'm looking at the time here. I know John.
Yeah. I was going to say,
very, very cool.
It's very good. You know what? I'm sure we're going to do some more martial arts movie. Maybe we'll couch the Wire talk. Cause I have my thoughts on that. We'll couch that for the next, you know, martial arts movie.
I'll have at least one more next week. So,
yeah.
Well, so. Raging Fire, fellas, if you get chance.
I don't know if I'll have it in time, but I did just buy it.
I'm looking for an excuse to rewatch it. So this is that's perfect then for me to do it.
I had to eBay it. I didn't do Amazon, so it might take a few days.
Okay. Oh, no worries. That's okay. All right. Well, yeah, I'm already looking at next week's stuff. By the way, just very super quick, can I just ask you guys, have either of you heard of or seen the film Brotherhood of the Wolf?
I have not. I've heard of it.
Could you wait a minute?
Sorry.
Wrong one.
Oh, of course.
What were you talking about, Steve?
Sorry. It's coming out there next week. Sorry.
You've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Well, I actually just saved it on my Hulu or something so I could watch it. I'm not sure if I'm going to buy the disc. I don't know if I'll like the movie.
Unless you just
really sell me on it.
Well, I've never seen it. Oh, okay. However, the reason I haven't seen it, a number of reasons, but one, let me see if I can tickle and tantalize your cinematic taste buds, John. Okay. Period epic. French language, martial arts. Mark Dacascos is in it.
Werewolf.
Werewolves.
Yeah, you've got me. I mean, I don't know.
it should be called Brotherhood of the Wolf for John and Steve.
Right.
That's what it should be called. But the reason that I've never watched it is because this is one of the movies like Blade Runner that there's lots of different versions of it. And I've never known until now which version to see. And this is the director's cut, 150 minutes long. But it's the director's cut, and apparently it is fantastic. And lots of people that I know and that I trust and that I've spoken to say this film is a classic.
It's got a huge following, I know.
Yeah, it has. It has. Yeah. So I can't wait to see this for next week. You guys, of course, will have to wait because it's not out till next Tuesday, isn't it? There. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll watch it this week and I'll hold it perhaps for the week after because if you guys.
I was going to say, hold off. I have it on Kaleidoscape. I've had it for a long time because, not in 4K. Not in 4K. It's not. Okay. I believe it's the director. I believe it's the same cut that you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I believe. So. Yeah. We've got to see the same cut. Yeah.
Rob H is a huge fan of this movie, and we talked about it a long time ago when he was on the show, and he wants to review it with me. So next time he's on, that's what we're gonna do. I was talking to him the other day, and I'm like, did you see it's coming in 4K? And he's like, yeah, he had, and he's not sure he's gonna be able to get it, but it's
an original cinematic 4K remaster. It's they've gone back to the original negative. So it's excuse me. one of the guys who follows us all, I think, on Twitter, guy called he's a French chap who does YouTube videos, and this film, of course, it's a French movie.
Yeah.
But he says that the YouTube stuff on this is an absolutely beautiful transfer, audio and video, cool. I'm told. It's in Atmos as well. So
yeah,
I can't wait for this. This is my first film to see as soon as I've got a free night this week.
I'm actually hoping we get this on Kaleidoscape. That's kind of what I'm hoping. I'm like, because it is by the studio, right?
Canal. It is over here. So I don't know whether they're doing them over there. I hope so. Yeah. I mean, it's a huge release, hopefully. So I can't wait to watch this. And so John, got to see it.
Yes, I'm going to have to buy it.
Yep. All right. Let's pop through a few of these and maybe we can get some listener experiences. But also coming next week, May 23rd, along with Brotherhood of the Wolf, we have, I don't know, did we say Brotherhood of the Wolf before or did we just start raving about it? All right. For anybody listening to the audio only, they're like, what the hell are they talking about? So Shazam Fury of the Gods comes out in three different box covers. You have 200th anniversary edition versions. And then there's also an Icon edition version. They're all really nice.
Cinema George version.
Yeah, there you go. Cinema George version. Looks like an old floppy drive cover.
I do like the center image, though.
Don't talk about me and floppy things, please, Deej, honestly.
Especially in Cinema George.
Yeah, well, quite. Yeah, if I get excited, that's definitely not the case.
Family show, people. Families.
Hey, look, it's 12:45 here. I can get away with anything.
Exactly. Oh, boy. Oh, man, I got to get my sounders ready. I do. I like the center image as well, John.
I still haven't seen this.
Oh, there you go.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, fun. I'll pick it up. I loved it. Yep. Great in 4K HDR. Looks really, really good on this. Also next week from 2023, Creed 3 also is getting, Creed 3 is also getting three box covers or artworks or whatever you want to call it.
This is all geared for you, DJ.
I think
the studios have gotten wise.
I have them on Kaleidoscape. I got to buy three covers.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. I also haven't seen this. I can't wait to see this.
I haven't seen this one yet either.
It's a lot of fun, too. Actually.
Yeah, I know you really liked it, didn't you, John? I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Although we're really going to want Jonathan Majors getting beaten.
I was going to say, a little tough with Jonathan Majors, but innocent until proven guilty.
Well, that's what I like to tell my clients.
Right.
Okay, moving on.
That's the bill of goods I sell them.
This is already out, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not in Steelbook only, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I've been trying to pick it up, and I'm not really
sure about
it.
It's a really good transfer. Really good transfer, and audio as well. Really nice.
And another one, favorite, from 2006.
It's a good week next week, huh?
I don't know how this is going to look because it was shot in HD. I don't know.
I thought it was shot on a camcorder.
It was. Well, but only a 1080i camcorder. Yeah. I mean, even if that. So it's going to look pretty ropey in 4K, I would have thought.
Maybe. Yeah.
But it's a great film. It's a fun film.
It's fun. Yeah. Jen and I saw this together. We were like, when he has to, like, you know, you have that one scene out in public that you shouldn't be doing in public, but he has to keep his adrenaline up. And we were like, she goes, they're actually going there? I was like, yep.
And so are we on the way home? No.
Yeah. Okay. Want to hit a food cart?
Shouldn't have done that when he's drinking.
Why are you taking me to the food cart? all right. That's it for next week, May 23rd, not March 23rd. Really good. We'll skip this week's tweaks of the week. Do I have? Let me look. Let me.
Minutes. Tweak away. All right.
Where is my tweak of the week? I don't have the image for it. I thought I did, but I guess I didn't make it. Sorry, everybody.
Just while you're having a double check, Deej, just in case anyone's watching wondering why I keep doing this, the windows are open and there are bugs coming in.
Bugs. I did the same thing. Little gnats.
Yeah.
Spears and Munsell. So got I got my Spears and Munsell disc in over the weekend. Again, much like yesterday, and we're trying to book a guest. I was in the middle of something. I was in the middle of tweeting out that I got it. Something happened. Took me away. It was like the next day. I was like, I never hit send on that. Oh my God. So anyways, Spears and Munsell disc came in, really good. When we're done with this podcast, highly recommend going over to AV Nirvana. Todd's got Spears and Munsell. They're going to be talking about the disc. As Todd said, it's not necessarily a how-to. A lot of people are having, there's a lot of confusion. It's definitely, Spears and Munsell's always been a little bit more confusing than, you know, Video Essentials, but I've loved their disc for years. They are a little more confusing, but you're not going to break anything, right? Just go in, start messing with your set. Just remember what your setting was on. And if it says adjust brightness, screw with your brightness setting. See which one makes it work, right? This one actually has a nice book. It'll explain a little bit more to you. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoy using it, I should say. It's like I've talked about it in the past. I change the bulb, I throw the Spears and Munsell in. I get my, you know, my black levels. I also use my Video Essentials disc as well. So this new one is much of the same, a little bit more detail. One of the fun things I did with it that I don't believe it wasn't on the other one. This one has Atmos and you can do bass sweeps with it. So a lot of fun running the bass sweeps, looking for, they call them rattle tests on the disc. So you're listening for it. It's going from two. I use the 200 down to 15. And in a normal movie, you wouldn't hear the rattles because there's other stuff going on. But when there's nothing but the bass sweep, and I haven't done bass sweeps in years, and having my two subs going down to 15, all the way to 15, it's like right around 80, you get that. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God. So I started walking around my room, listening to where the little rattles were. And you'll hear the vibrate, and then it goes away. But then a new one comes up at a different frequency somewhere else. So that was fun. But what was really fun was getting to, and now, again, I haven't done them in years since I've had subs that can go sub 20 hertz. And to hear, like, you know, under 20, or once you start to get to 20, you can't hear anything, but you feel it, or your stuff does. So you hear the rattle and it's like, especially my knickknacks on the back, and you'll hear that, and it goes under 20 and it's still going down, and you're at 15 and you'll hear the, and then it's over. So, you know, you went all the way to 15, and that's the only way you can tell is by, you know, think little vibrations you get. While I was walking around my room, I got the null overhead, like not a null, but the bass sounded different on either side of me, of my prime listening position. Sounded great where I was standing up, but then when I walked to the left or the right of my prime listen, it sounded different. Not bad, just different. The bass was a different note. And I'm like, oh, but then I sat down and I went right into it. So I'm like, oh, that was cool. I'm like, that's what's, you know, have fun with it. Do stuff like that. So anyways, all right, that was my tweak of the week. Wanted to get that out, and I highly recommend going over to AV Nirvana. That's where I'm going to try to go. I'm probably watching it in the background while I do some other stuff. So, all right, let's get to. It's okay if I cut myself off, right?
Right.
Let's get to listener experiences. All right. This one was left over from last week. So, John, you want to read that one?
Greetings, DJ. Thanks for the refresh info take on hockey.
Yeah.
Rooting for the Oilers. They spanked the VGK last game. Let's hope it continues. Bright Side Sports can be your next podcast. LOL. On the HT side, that was all Greek to me. I didn't understand any of that.
So he actually, so this is Julian. He's in Edmonton area. Yeah. He was an Edmonton fan. He is an Edmonton fan. I'm a Boston fan. Before they started, we had a little bet going. Both our teams have since been eliminated. His team just got eliminated the other night, since actually after he wrote this. So we're both Bright Siding Sports right now. Right. But, okay, go on. Okay.
On the HT side of things, I recently picked up a Paradigm PS1000 V3 subwoofer for $200 from a friend for my music listening area. One of my bad habits is looking at reviews after picking up used gear and they are usually negative or mixed, comparing to SVS, etc. I mean, it sounds good to me, and for $200, can't go wrong. It's older, but in mint shape. Like you have said, every ear, every room, every source has so much impact on what you hear or think about a speaker. My next upgrade is painting my room and starting room treatments, as I can't afford any significant equipment upgrades. I suffer EQ envy a lot and tend to look at my flaws more than just enjoying the content, especially with YouTubers and podcasts boasting about the latest multi-thousand dollar buy. A new projector and receiver would be my next big items. Mine are over a decade old. Watched the new Ant-Man movie and thought it was okay. Looked good and sounded pretty good with all the action sequences. Have you checked out the season 2 of Star Wars Visions? It's really cool and a fresh style of watching the Star Wars universe. Can you pull the graphic down for me, please?
Yep. Sorry about
that. Hope you have a great week. Take care and thanks again for the shows. Say hi to the boys. Julian from Vibe Installs. Oh, I guess it wasn't actually covering anything up.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Yeah, but you don't know that.
But I didn't know that, right?
Right. You don't know that. So, yeah. No, cool. Yeah, it's suffer EQ envy a lot and tend to look at my flaws. And that's what we all do. That's what I was like, you know.
Yeah,
and,
but you shouldn't. You know, this is right. The thing. You know, I would say to Julian, for what it's worth, for what he cares about, a British lawyer telling him, you know, who cares what's on YouTube? Who cares what anybody else says or thinks? You know, there's always someone's going to have something better, bigger, more expensive. Ignore it. Get what you can afford. Enjoy what you've got. And tell everyone else to. The Kiwis have a phrase for this that I cannot use on this family show. But just, you know, enjoy what you have, enjoy what you like, and forget everybody else.
See, I wouldn't say forget or ignore. Go ahead, John. I think you might have been saying the same thing.
No, I was just going to say, honestly, I'm there too, because I really had some FOMO going on a couple of months ago, and it was all about you, really, DJ. Like, you have, you know, the Kaleidoscape, the Lumigen, and I had talked myself into needing these things because I felt like I was missing out on an experience that you were having. And as I was watching some of these movies over the last couple of weeks and realizing, you know, my system looks great. It sounds great. Would I still like to have a Lumigen? Sure. Would I like to have a Kaleidoscape? Sure, maybe someday. But I'm not missing anything in what I have. I don't have some of the conveniences that you have with the Kaleidoscape. But again, I don't watch my movies that way, the same way you do either. So, yeah, don't, like Steve just said, don't and worry about what anybody else is doing or what anybody else has.
Well,
like your system and, you know, upgrade something because you want it.
Exactly. And that's upgrade. Exactly. And don't like, and John and I have had this conversation for years going back to the beginning. And it's, see, my thing is what I think it's, get something because you want it, not because somebody else has it. Now, maybe you saw that somebody else had it and then you want it for whatever reason. And to me, and I think this is a great, great comment to end on too, to talk about, because it's what we all do. Now, why do you have FOMO? What are you missing out on? And John and I know we went through it pretty much together growing up in home theater. It's when you first start out or even in the middle of it. And when I say first start out to the middle, I'm talking, you know, first start out and then 15 years later, you're kind of in the middle. You're always going to be looking for improvements. Why do I have a Lumigen? Not because I knew somebody had one and I thought it would be good. I saw problems in my system that I could not solve. And this was the best way for me to solve it. That's why I enjoy my Lumigen, is because I had issues that I could not solve. So there were people telling me there are other ways to do it. And you're right. I could do it this way. This, I feel, is the better way. Regardless, it's what I'm doing. I'm not trying to copy other people because they just happen to have one. Get stuff that if you have a problem, solve that problem. If you have a need, take care of that need. like me, I don't want to have to get up and change my discs. The Kaleidoscape answers that question. It's something I've wanted for 20 years. Right. So it's like, I mean, it's good. I'm not like, Steve said, it's like, don't worry about, no. Pay attention to what other people have. That's what I've been doing for 30 years. I watch these expensive systems and get ideas on how I can make mine better. That's all. But don't think that yours isn't good just because you don't have that next step yet. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it is a fool's errand to be constantly looking outside. You keep doing that, and you're not got what's right in front of you, and you're not enjoying what you've got. Right. It is my concern. That's my worry, and that's why I think it's you're always going to see something better. Always. Hell, look, I was looking at some pictures taken from inside of Steven Spielberg's viewing cinema room on his yacht. And I'm not looking at that and thinking, oh, do you know what? Oh, God, I can never afford that. So now my system's crap. You know, it's just, enjoy what you've got, get what you like. And, you know, and just, you know, as you said, watch it if you want to, and then take what you want from it, but don't let it ruin your enjoyment of what you've got.
Especially everybody watching or listening to this podcast. There's always people that we admire and systems that we admire. And there's always people admiring our systems.
Right.
At all. So we're in that sweet spot in the middle. It's like, we always have some place to go, which is what makes it fun for us. But there's always people going, how did you do this? Which is fun for us. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great way to wrap up.
I think it's sort of kumbaya moment. We're all in this together.
Kumbaya. Yeah, we really are. And it's like, I mean, and that's what's, you know, to be fun about it and everything. It's like, and I if I can take a minute there, John, because we're going a little over here. We're 14 seconds over. I'm sorry.
Not me. You got to apologize to. It's foolish.
Yeah, I know.
What's going on? Sorry. Just drifting off there, guys.
Yeah. No. So
get my pillow. I can bring
one.
It in.
We obviously, this new format, we're cramming on. First and foremost is our home theater experiences. We will get to the comments that we didn't get to this week. We'll have them next week. I guarantee you I'm not going to be able to watch as much stuff by next week as I did this week. Promise you that. But I did want to get these out. I didn't have time today to make the graphic for them, but I did see them. Everybody, we did get 2 new 5-star reviews on Apple iTunes. Okay.
Nice.
First one came in from Husboo. I wonder who that is. My favorite home theater podcast. 5 stars. Says, a great podcast for home theater fans. They watch the movies that need watching. The tech and equipment of multiple listeners is discussed along with their HT experiences. Same day, we got one from Mark V. I wonder who that is. Very discreet name.
Right.
awesome home theater podcast. 5 stars. The Triplets discuss movie experiences and HT gear with listeners weekly. With listeners weekly. Literally everything is discussed. I have bought so many movies because of how great their experiences sound. This podcast is always improving and evolving, and pretty soon it'll be it cut off. I don't have the whole graphic scene. But I know what it says. That's why I'm laughing. It's like, as I was reading, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to finish this because it's not there, but I remember it. Pretty soon, it'll be like listening to
listening Dolby to paint, Atmos.
Dolby Atmos. So we upticked it from Dolby. So I was like, that is awesome. It's like, it'll be like listening in Dolby Atmos. So that was awesome. Thanks, Mark. And thanks, Husboo. Thank you very much. Patreon support, all of that. Juvenile diabetes this month, we're giving to that. We had some donations come in. I have it in the notes. Let me get to that quickly. We got, obviously, Johnny Speakers did step up. He was the first one. I did mention it last week. I wasn't sure to remember what the amount was. $10. We said last week, Danny Speakers came in hot with $100, and Van Gool donated more heat with $25. So awesome. We're doing well this month on the popcorn. Patreon standing pat where we were. Could use some help in both directions for that, for, you know, for juvenile diabetes. 100% this month is going to juvenile diabetes. And Joe Klosnick, the listener that had the idea, said he's going to match it. So the more popcorn comes in, Joe will match whatever we as a podcast, as the listeners, donate, whatever we give, he's going to match it. So that'll be cool. So, all right. Did we nail everything there?
I think so.
Are we done? We're a little bit over. 3 minutes again. Over. I think that's our time. 7:03. All right. All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching, listening, participating. 5-star reviews recommended. Boxes of popcorn really appreciated. Blah, blah, blah. All of that good stuff. What are we going to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
And we're out.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.